Hello, Place to Be Nation. This is your host, Chris Zellner here, and we are discussing the 2017 Royal Rumble. And I'm joined tonight by Devin Hales, and no Johnny Sorrow tonight, folks. But we'll talk about that in a second. Devin, what's going on tonight, brother?
I'm doing good. Just coming off a really good weekend of wrestling that I think, for the most part, lived up to the hype, and I'm excited to talk about the show, so...
Well, I was able to see some of it. It's funny that I was reading a lot of people were having problems with WWE Network. I had zero issues.
Right.
But Flow Slam this weekend, I was about to, destroy my Roku and television set because I couldn't see almost any of Friday night's show.
Yeah.
And I missed almost the entire first half of Saturday's show. That sucks. And thankfully it started working perfectly at the right time, so I was able to see the last few matches, including the Chris Hero stuff.
Yeah,
and we may mention that.
Sure,
the
sure.
Show, but Johnny Sorrow's not here tonight because he's enjoyed himself a little too much. You can read between the lines on that one. He told me he wasn't going to be able to do the show, so it's just me and Devin. So Devin, what did you have to say?
I was just going to say I think it's interesting about the network issues tonight. I don't think they were universally terrible or anything, but. I heard from people, multiple people in the building that the cell service was very bad in the Alamo Dome, and I'm wondering if that had to do with the effects of the somewhat poor streaming in the household and stuff. Because from the location, just food for thought. Because I wonder if that I'm no tech geek, so I don't know the answer to that question, but.
It could have affected Evolve too, because NXT had no problems.
Nope, not at all. I agree.
So it could have been something like that. Yeah, we don't know for sure, but yeah. So anyway, let's move on to the show. As we started off with the pre-show, which was 2 fucking hours.
Whew.
Although I was recording some stuff for BTS, so I missed a lot of the banter the first hour. We finally finished around the first match, so it ended up being right on time. So anyway, we had Becky Lynch, Nikki Bella, Naomi versus Alexa Bliss, Natalya, and Mickey James. Now, I thought it was interesting that they opened with the SmackDown women here. I'm kind of on this placement, although I kind of understand why they did it, but I wish they wouldn't have. The match was pretty good. I mean, all the girls did okay. The finish was interesting to where they were going, starting on SmackDown on Tuesday, and it looks like they're heading this direction. But what did you think about the match?
I thought it was fine. It was a decent match. I always feel bad about these wrestlers that have to go out and I want to preface this by saying I don't think they're getting buried or anything like that, because I understand the time constraints and trying to spread out the 3 matches of the pre-show matches, at certain times. But I feel bad for these people who have to work that first pre-show match on these super shows, because the crowd's still filing in, so the matches don't have heat. And you know what I mean? It's like, and I feel bad for them because they're working hard, but they don't get much of a reaction, because a lot of people are still filing into the building. And I just think that's sort of a unfortunate flaw of these kind of super shows with these multiple pre-show matches, because the first one is inevitably going to be starting well before the majority of the crowd gets into the building. As far as Naomi winning, I don't think it's too surprising. I do think it is a little interesting. I'm assuming they're going to do Alexa and Naomi at Elimination Chamber in a couple of weeks, would be my guess. But I would guess they're still going to try to, work out those other two feuds, Becky, Mickey, and Nikki and Natty. So, I think kind of the new thing coming out of that is Alexa and Naomi, and it was a good win for Naomi. And I guess she's getting the... I feel like she's getting the pre-Mania push, kind of like Brie Bella did last year, where she gets like the title shot for the big show. So, and I think that's kind of what that's going on, kind of a program to fill up time before Mania.
Well, one thing that I've seen people say, and there may be some credence to this, is they think that Naomi may be getting this push because of Black History Month coming up.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's in February, and she has been off television for months.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, here she is, you know, shoehorned right into a feud with the champion.
Yep, yep.
So maybe, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know either way. I thought the match was fine. Mickey seemed like she fit right in with everybody. So that was good, because this was her first, match. Becky Lynch's wardrobe tonight was interesting. I think she needs to kind of match her gear. I mean, if you're going to wear the white Daisy Dukes, you kind of need to wear a white top.
Yeah.
I wasn't feeling the black top at all. So
Becky has some interesting wardrobes.
And I know I'm not the only one, but I said, with Nikki Bella, with the hair she's got now, the straight black long hair, she looks like Cher from a distance. So
she does, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a fan of that hair. I like the old brown hair better. But anyway, maybe John likes it. I don't know. Nikki looks like she's wearing that wig that Nanny was using on Total Divas when she was turning heel, because she thought that she would need to maybe dye her hair. So I think that maybe the wig she's using. But,
could be.
I don't know. Could be. Yeah, you're right. All right, next match. We had the Raw Tag Titles here. We have Cesaro and Sheamus defending against Guns and Gallows, Doc Gallows, Luke Gallows, and Carl Anderson. Two referees, which would make Bill Watts proud.
Yeah.
We had John Cone, we had the white and the black referee here. Yeah. John Cone, the white referee, was absolutely destroyed by a bro kick.
Yes. I mean,
Sheamus popped him hard, buddy. He nailed him. And then the club took advantage for that, got the pin, won the titles. They won it for WrestleMerica and the new Bulletproof Dojo that's opening up near in my neck of the woods.
Yeah.
With Doc Gallows and Joey Mercury, in fact.
Nice.
Running things here. So they won that for the locals. But I thought this was a good match. I thought that the title change made sense. I think that the club needs these belts right now to get them over the hump. What do you think?
I only saw half of the match, cut in half. This is when the stream was at its worst for me. But I did see the first part of the match before the break, and I actually got there right before the finish. And I will say that the first half of the match that I saw was actually quite good. Good offense, good pace. And it looked to be from the highlights, the finishing run was pretty good as well. John Cone took one for the team. Good Lord. He got his head kicked off by Sheamus. I think it is a good move for the club to win the belts, just so they needed it, really. And I'm not even a fan of the club at this point. I think that they've really been watered down and really hurt by silly gimmicks like the dick jokes that they were making during the New Day feud and stuff like that.
They
quit
doing that, though. They toned that down.
They did. They did. But, I think that's what kind of hurt them for being over. And now I think them getting the belts, this can help them be relevant and improve on a little bit, I think. So, yeah, I think it was the right decision as well.
All right, the question is now is where do we go from here? Is Cesaro and Sheamus still going to team up? Or club, move on to another team? I know they feuded with everybody so far, so it's kind of like you're going to rehash old feuds again.
I know.
So where do you think we go with belts?
They've got to do something. I mean, because, obviously there's going to be some type of match at Mania. Although the tag belts weren't defended last year. They're going to have to do something. A lot of these feuds will be rehashes if they don't form any new tag teams or make any bring anybody up from NXT or something like that, because it's been a lot of Club New Day, Cesaro, Sheamus, Even Enzo and Cass, that was like 3 months ago, but, you know, just kind of rotating with each other in feuds. So it'll be interesting where they go from here.
This is where, and I said this the other day on Twitter, I think now is the time you may need to make a trade or two.
Yes.
I think both shows need some freshening up a little bit.
Yeah.
I tell you, American Alpha is just sitting on the sidelines right now, SmackDown. Trade them to Raw. And, you know, yeah. send a team over to SmackDown, you know, in their spot, whether it be New Day, Cesaro, Sheamus, whatever. Yep. Send somebody over to SmackDown, or even Enzo and Cass. And send somebody to SmackDown and bring American Alpha over and let them go at it with the club. I think that'd be some really good matches, and might freshen Alpha up a little bit, because they're doing nothing on SmackDown right now.
Yeah, yeah. They weren't even on the card tonight. So, you know, that's probably something that might need to be done during Mania season is to get that done. So.
There needs to be something done for sure. All right, next match, Nia Jax versus Sasha Banks. This feud's been built up fairly decently on television, and I thought the match went exactly like it should have went for this match, or this point in the feud. It didn't need to be a real competitive match. I mean, this was a pure squash match, basically. And they did what they should have done here and made Nia look like a complete monster. So, and she went over. And Sasha did a good job of bumping for her. And I thought this was an effective segment. What'd you think?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought so, too. You know, I think there was also a little bit of a surprise there with the squash, but I think it was the right move. You know, I think it really helps to make Nia look strong. I really like the match itself. You know, Sasha, you know, was you know, being a little bit extra scrappy in this match, working underneath. Her selling was pretty good for the most part. The standing stretch plum, I believe, is what it was brutal looking.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
that looked really good. It was a good match. And I like the finish, just Sasha getting squashed and very decisive. Yeah, good booking. I still suspect that it'll probably be a four-way between the top four women on Raw.
That's the talk, yeah.
Which is disappointing, but it's let's get everybody on the card kind of deal. So, I mean, you know, we don't know. You know, that's speculation, but that would be my guess at this point.
And also a way to get the title off Charlotte without pinning her.
Yep, absolutely. Good point.
Because, you know, as we talk about, they definitely keep bringing that streak up. So
yes.
It's definitely in there. Now, Nia, you know, she got bank statement easily. Like it was completely nothing. I mean, she steamrolled her. And that's what. And this, if you're going to make this a multi-match deal, that's what needed to happen.
Yeah. Yep.
So, kudos to them for actually following through with that. All right, main show. We start off with Charlotte defending the Raw Women's Championship against Bayley. I thought this was a pretty good match. Not on the level of some of the other matches lately, like with Charlotte and Sasha, you know, but that's to be expected. Because there's not that hatred here, like you got exuded from Charlotte and Sasha, but the crowd was into it. Interesting finish, and I kind of dug the way it was done too, because it came out of nowhere. You know, it's like natural selection, bam, and that was it. And Charlotte got her mouth busted open.
Yeah, that elbow drop was by Bayley and was a great new move to add. That's what caught it, I believe. It connected. But it added a match, and it was a great near fall, too. So,
yeah, she did the Macho Queen elbow off the top rope, which, I, you know, was cool. And I liked the leg work here, so when they were setting up the figure four. I thought this was pretty good. What did you think about it?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was a very good match, actually. I think Charlotte looked more polished as far as execution than she usually is.
She was great on top.
Yeah. You know, I've always, you know, I think Charlotte's definitely good now and she's definitely improved, but I've always been a little bit annoyed with her sloppiness, and I sometimes don't think she's the best base there is. But I think that she was pretty good as far as, you know, being as far as executing offense and stuff like that. I thought this was really good. Like I mentioned, flying elbow near fall, the fight over the figure eight was really well done. But I also want to point out that someone made a great point on Twitter, and it was that they liked, and I agree with them, that the finish of the match was that one apron bump. Like, the apron bump didn't happen early or didn't happen in the middle of the match, and then it didn't keep working. Like, that natural selection on the apron bump, that's a finish. Like, you get your head smashed on the hardest part of the ring, that's it, you know? So I like that. I thought that was a good point. And it was a really good finish. I thought it was a really good match.
Yeah, and I think Charlotte, she has a lot of similarities to The Miz.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That, in fact, you know, she has a great character. Like, Miz had a great character. And the work is catching up to the character.
Yes.
You know, and she's in that stage where Miz was a few years ago, where his work is finally catching up to his character.
Yep.
She's getting there. Like you said, she has her moments in matches where you go like, oh, that wasn't great. And that's to be expected because she's still fairly new.
Sure. Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So, just keep improving and keep going, you know, and she'll get there.
Yeah.
So.
And she knows how to get heat with the crowd. And, of course, people aren't going to boo Bayley. Especially in, you know, in a smart crowd, like they're obviously at the Rumble, but she knows how to get heat, like The Miz does, you know, with a crowd, which is very difficult. And, you have to give her credit for that as well. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the next match, when I saw it was coming up, I was like, wow, it's early in the card, but it made sense considering what's going on later. Universal title, no DQ. Kevin Owens defending against Roman Reigns. Chris Jericho in the shark cage. This was basically what I think, you know, we should have expected for a no DQ match. I mean, they were going out there and, you know, we were getting weapons and we were getting, you know, all kinds of work outside. Jericho was throwing, you know, brass knuckles down from the cage. We got tables breaking. There was a lot of stuff going on here. Both men were working their asses off.
Yes.
Very intense physical nature to the match. You could tell that these two guys hated each other. So that was in there. So you believe that these two, you know, had some issues. And, interesting finish here where Braun got involved.
Yep.
And, that choke slam to the table was nasty.
Ooh, man.
Because it looked like Reigns' head may almost hit that monitor if it didn't. And that could have been a bad deal.
That would have been concussions right there, I bet.
Yeah, or maybe even worse. Yep. And then we got the finish where Owens got the pin. But, wow, this was a really, really strong match.
Yeah.
On both sides. And I thought it was a good way to end their feud. And Owens gets out on top of Roman Reigns, basically, in this feud, way it looks. So, hey, how about that?
Yep. I thought this match was the match of the night, which I might surprise some. And we'll get to AJ Cena.
That's interesting,
I thought this match was fucking awesome. I thought it was really good, and I love Roman. I think he's awesome, but Kevin Owens is really good. Part of that is it went to more of his strengths, Thunder match, big moves, and that's fine. You know, play to his strengths. And I thought this match ruled. I thought it was had great drama. I thought there were a couple of really good near falls, even ones that you could argue were false finishes. I think Jericho in the cage was used smart, and they didn't pan over to him excessively, which I was afraid of. Like, the way they used him in the match was, I thought, well done, and didn't detract from the match at all. But the big three moves that Roman was trying to take Owens out with at the end was, like, a great way. And then I think it was, I would consider it a false finish, you know, with Braun coming out, right? Because, you know, Roman has that spear over. So Braun comes out, and I'm, of course, a mark for Braun, and I'd love to see a Roman-Braun match now, especially since Braun has gotten so much better. I like the finish. Some probably might complain a little bit because Roman got, you know, did get protected some, but, you know, that's okay. Owens wins the feud, wins the match. I thought this was the WWE match of the year so far. I thought it was really, really, really good. I loved it.
Yeah, one thing, that frog splash to the table and the floor was an awesome spot.
There were some brutal looking spot. Like, this cut match and the brutality kind of reminded me of that of a match that I think is underrated, but like that Sheamus Reigns TLC match from 2015. Like, some of the this match was brutal. Like, Owens took the safest bump he could possibly take on the chairs, but that still looked nasty. Especially.
Yes. Absolutely.
Like, that could not have felt good at all.
Yeah. And I agree with you about Jericho. They could have made this way more comedic and stuff too. Owens could have done his silly shit, which he didn't do.
Yep.
They did everything right here. So, yeah, this was a very strong match, so check it out if you haven't seen it. That's for damn sure. And Roman Reigns was not done yet.
So nope.
Although, I mean, the way you made it look, I mean, it looks like Reigns and Strowman should be on the books for Fastlane.
Yeah, that's almost, I think, at this point. So
it's going to be interesting how that goes, too.
Yep.
So, after what happened later on. Now, next, we get a video break because they have to set up the ring, change the ropes to purple, and get the purple stuff for 205 Live Spotlight. Cruiserweight title, Rich Swann defending against Neville. And this was a really good match that had no heat. And yeah. I kind of felt bad for the guys. I was reading tweets from people that were live in the building. And I saw somebody said that the two of the people that were sitting beside them were, like, actually reading books during this match. And I was like, wow. You know, I mean, these guys are going out there and they were working hard. Although there were parts of the match where it was kind of slow. I mean,
that's the thing. Little chin locky.
Yeah, and that's a criticism that 205 Live gets. You know, they've been better in recent weeks, right, for sure. But that's the criticism that they get at times, is that, you know, the guys aren't agenting these matches correctly. They're not letting them go out there and just go nuts and go crazy. But it built up to a good run at the end, and lots of big spots later on. That Swan super kick on the Neville in the air, I thought, was great. The Phoenix splash to the floor was great.
Yeah, Swan hits that perfectly every time too.
Yeah, and stuff at the end. I love that they've built up the superplex again as some type of kill shot.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. That's right out of 1985.
Yes.
So that's really good stuff. And the finish was perfect because that's what needed to happen.
Yep.
Neville needed to win this belt. I know you watch 205 Live like I do every week. Neville has just totally invigorated that show, hasn't he?
Oh, man. I mean, here are the pluses with Neville is the casual audience knows who he is at this point, and they enjoy him, I think. I think they probably, you know, prefer him as a flying face. But, you know, thinking from the casual, I mean, I don't know every casual fan ever, but I feel like that would probably be the mentality. But the thing is he gives better recognition to the cruiserweight division. I think people will be a little more willing to travel. I like I think he adds that element to the division. And I think he's just been really great in this run. I think he's been a really good promo. I think he's got, I think he paces his matches very well. You know, I think it's a totally valid criticism to point out the agenting of the matches. You know, the chinlock stuff. I don't mind it with Neville so much because I feel like he knows how to work it into the matches. But, you know, I can understand the criticisms. But, yeah, Neville is, without a doubt, breathing at least some life into this division, which it has badly needed because it was just, you know, the matches lack heat. And I feel bad because this match was very good. I think I preferred the TV match 2 weeks ago a little bit more, but, you know, this was still a really good match, and I liked that they protected Rich Swann. He got his kick, but Neville was, because of the placement that Neville was in the ring, he got his foot in the rope, so, you know, you could sort of, it's sort of a visual for Swann, and then he got to kick out of the superplex. You know, Neville's won the two or three matches with the superplex, so Swann got to look strong and really, and I'm hoping that Neville can bring a little bit more interest into the division.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I would guess maybe Cedric Alexander is going to get the next shot in line.
Possible.
Maybe. Or do they, you know, hot shot it to Tozawa, who's supposed to debut this week?
That's a good point. I'm not sure yet. We'll have to see. 205 Live's too, from here. Like they're like bottom 10 weekly by like random stuff. I'm hoping the viewership can get up. I'm a little bit worried about the life of that TV, honestly. Even yeah. I think it's gotten better in the last month, but we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. They need to do something. They absolutely do. Maybe this will be the beginning of something. All right. So at this point, there was 2 hours and 20 minutes left of the show of what, you know, you thought the show was going to be. And there's only two matches left. So something's going real long. Royal Rumble, of course, is going to go long. And then we get John Cena and AJ Styles, with AJ defending the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. This match goes a good 25 minutes, maybe. And this was exactly what I wanted from these two in this situation. I mean, this is not a match where you're going to see, you know, maybe a lot of great psychology. This was going to be big match John doing, you know, all of his big spots, kind of like the Owens stuff when him and Owens had their deal, you know, a while back. And AJ is a perfect guy for stuff like that. And it's basically my move against your move. And, you know, we're going to trade it back and forth. It felt like a Japanese style, like a Tokyo Dome main event. And they went out there and just was throwing bombs like crazy. They hit all their moves. Cena hit all his big indie moves that he normally does. AJ was phenomenal, no pun intended. Everything he did, bumping, selling, hitting his offense, just what a flawless worker he is.
Gosh, right now. I know.
And Cena, I love Cena breaking up the figure four.
Yeah, that was a tremendous spot.
Because, I mean, it all played into the record, you know, to tie Ric Flair's record. So he's going to use Ric Flair's move to try to tie the record. And he didn't do it. So that was even better. And when AJ, you know, he kicked out of the top rope AA, which only a couple of people have done. I think, and Owens was one of them. If I'm not mistaken.
I believe Owens might be the only one who's ever done it. I could be wrong on that. Orton might have done it once, but
Owens for sure. I could have swore somebody else may have, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so that's one of Cena's ultimate kill shots, and AJ kicks out of it. So you're like, whoa. And a lot of people thought AJ was going to retain the title. I didn't. I told your brother, Dylan, this week, I thought Cena was going to win it. And I just had the feeling because I think he had to because AJ's got the best of him, you know, when they've wrestled each other. Cena had to get his win back. And this was the way to get it back in this match. I mean, it just – that followed logic. And he did, and this was something. I mean – between this and the other world title match, man, this I don't know if any WWE pay per view where they've had the split world titles that had two matches for the main belts like this on one show. I mean, this was amazing stuff. Amazing stuff. And props to Big Match John, man. He just always delivers. Always delivers. I know you like the Owens Reigns match better, but what were your thoughts on this match?
Okay. I'm perfectly fine with Cena. I think it was probably the right move. I think it probably would have added a little bit if AJ had retained, but Cena winning was something that I think when the match started, I thought the heels are winning these title matches, so Cena's winning the match. And I thought the was really good. I liked the SummerSlam, where AJ hit the Styles Clash and, you know, hit the phenomenal forearm to win. And that's kind of what he is selling after kicking out of the Super AA, kind of backfired on him a little bit. And, you know, Cena caught him and hit the two FUs for the win. My biggest criticism is just, I think I didn't pop on any near falls in this match. And I guess I have a strict rule of a match being great or whatever, but I was calling every kick out. For me, that's at least a small match because I didn't have this moment where I was like, I don't know who's winning the match. Whereas I did when AJ Super AA at SummerSlam. I knew he was going to kick out at this time. I fully expected it. And so the flaw that hurt the enjoyment of the match for me, it hurt the drama down the stretch of the match for me because I couldn't find a moment where I thought, you know, there was no moment where I was like, man, you know, I'm not sure this is up there. And I would have preferred that this match being, you know, the third match in the series would have had a moment like that. So I feel like I have to criticize the match for that, but I will say that it was worked a little bit differently in the first three-fourths of the match. I thought that they did a really good job with peaks and valleys. And I really thought the match was great up until after the deadlift spot out of the cross arm breaker. And then the drama kind of went out for me personally because I sort of started calling the near falls and I guess it bothered me. And there were people calling like five-star matches and I was like, I mean, I'm going to have to rewatch this match, but I felt like Owens and Reigns was not considerably better, but I felt like it was, I don't think there's a question of it being the better match to me personally. But like I said, I really don't have an issue with Cena winning. I think that was, I thought the finish itself was great. You know, the two big AAs to finish him off, but just that drama, in between the deadlift spot in the finish was missing for me. Would be my criticism, I think.
And you know, I understand the whole deal about the near falls. If you've watched the past Cena matches, you kind of get that. Now, the one thing I'll say about, I mean, I knew it was over as soon as he did the roll through for the next day. I mean, and there was no way AJ was going to kick out from that.
I did too.
There's no way. There's no way he's going to kick out of that one. So I knew that it was over then. And I kind of agree with you. I didn't buy into all the near falls either. I think the closest one I had was when he hit this Super AA. I thought that might be it, but it wasn't. And
right,
you know, They went on, but what was funny about this was Okada was watching the show, and Okada tweeted out AJ Cena is less than Okada Omega. I thought that was great. So, and it, you know, it may very well be, but anyway, I mean, it's still, you know, for John to do what he does, man. I mean,
oh, sure. I mean, he, to still be able to go right in the pace that he can do is incredibly impressive. And the match was alive. The crowd was into it. The live crowd was. And even that during the news were happening, it wasn't bad. It was just kind of there, you know, good, solid, but it didn't really grab me. But I mean, I can't take away because both guys definitely busted their ass. I think that they did change things up a little bit, especially in the early goings of the match. So, he's a really good wrestler.
And the crowd was positive in him winning.
Yes. Yeah, they were. Yeah. There wasn't a chorus of boos. Yeah. It actually really good discussion that could be had is since Cena's return in May, he's been heavily cheered.
A lot of the times, yes.
More so than before. Like, you know, I think AJ was probably cheered more in Vegas at Money in the Bank than Cena was. But, and you know, Cena has been, especially after SummerSlam, I think, when he's come back for the No Mercy pay-per-view for this run, he's been more cheered than he has booed at this point. He might be reaching the part-time legend status where he never gets booed, you know? He's just getting cheered now a lot, and it's an interesting thing to think about.
Hey, people are still going to do their John Cena sucks, you know, this theme song.
Oh, sure.
I mean, that's reached Kurt Angle territory, you know, with yes, songs. Yes, it has. But yeah, I mean, I think the crowd is kind of more lenient on John because I think they now see John as like the old gunslinger now, and yeah. You know,
he's kind of taken Taker's role, and he really has filled in the role of Taker that Taker had in the mid and late 2000s. Really.
Yeah, and you know, you watch SmackDown, you see his promos, you're thinking, you know, he's got this edge to him, but they don't even do anything near touch that during this match. I mean, it's still John Cena, babyface, you know, number one.
Yep.
You know, but you watch his promos, and you think, you know, he's talking mad shit on AJ. I mean, He's like old style John Cena here, but no, he's straight up babyface. He goes, gives the belt to the Make-A-Wish kid in the crowd, which, you know, was a great gesture on his part. So, yeah, it was a hell of a fucking match, no doubts. And everybody needs to check that out, too, because, I mean, AJ Styles, like I said, is pretty much flawless, and John was right there with him. All right, next. Stephanie McMahon, McMahon said that she's going to confront Seth Rollins on Raw tomorrow. Which, if you're watching this show, you're thinking, oh, it's angle alert time.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, yep. Triple H, well, we had what happened in NXT the night before. You know, would there be carryover here? Would Triple H be in the Rumble as a surprise entrant? Will Seth cause him? Well, we're finding out as we go to the Royal Rumble. So, this was set up to be the longest Rumble in history, and I don't know if it ended up being that or not. I haven't seen an official time. Because the show...
Dustin did the time.
Yeah, the show ended 20 minutes early. Because they said 2 minutes. So, yeah. I don't think it was the longest Rumble ever, because, let's be honest, the match, we can't count Big Cass's intro as part of the match.
No. And I laugh because of course he's coming out first. So Enzo and
Cassie, oh, exactly, and that's smart to do that. You know, the fans were eating it up,
yeah.
And they were pumped up. And then Jericho comes out second, and Jericho,
Iron Man.
Yeah,
again.
Jericho's the guy, man. He's the guy that they know can hold this match together in a way. I know Rover said on Twitter he's the new Greg Valentine, and. I kind of understand that. I mean, he's the guy you put in the Rumble, and you know everything goes through him. And he was in here again for a complete hour, even though he was hiding a good chunk of time.
I didn't like that he was hiding as long as he did. That was a
He was he would disappear. You're not, where's Jericho at? Oh, there he is. And they weren't making a deal out of it too, which was interesting. You know, normally they try, they showed like the cameras will show the guy hiding or whatever. No, they didn't make a big deal about it at all. So they were the first two. Interesting makeup of this match, I thought. We had 30 guys in here. We have 11 SmackDown guys. You have one unaffiliated, one NXT, and the rest are Raw. So Raw had a heavy hand in this match, 17 guys in this match. Do you think?
Yeah.
Now, well, I don't know if you count Gallagher as Raw. I mean, I guess you can.
I think you kind of have to because he's a division that is Raw exclusive. So,
but do you think that SmackDown got the short end of the stick on this? That they should have had more guys in this match?
Maybe. But in a way, I don't really know that they did. Because if you could look at it one way, I mean, the guy who won the match is on SmackDown. Yeah.
And you look at who else is left, too. Cause let's be honest, folks. True. SmackDown's roster is not deep.
It's very thin, yes. You know, the only real, you know, I suppose Breezango or American Alpha could have been entrants. But otherwise, there's not really, you know, other than those four, nobody ever, I mean, like, I wouldn't put the Ascension in the Rumble.
No. No. And again,
I wouldn't put the vodka.
And that was all that was left, basically, was the tag teams, because all the singles guys were here. As we go, so we had Kalisto and Mojo out next. You know, so that's two. And, you know, eventually you had Ellsworth, Ambrose, Corbin, The Miz, the Wyatt family. And SmackDown had like five guys in a row. Wyatt, Cruz, Orton, right. Ziggler, and Harper. So that's all your SmackDown guys right there.
Yep.
And then you had, you know, Gallagher was, you know, interesting entrant in here. So we got the umbrella spots.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I dug that. I know some people did not like it at all. I thought it was fun that he did that. He was doing his Mary Poppins shtick in there.
And I actually laughed.
Oh, yeah.
A low blow spot, too, oddly enough. And I was wondering, why am I laughing at this?
It was funny. It hadn't been done, you know. And Jericho was good at selling it, too. And Mark Henry, you know, we get Mark Henry showing up in Texas, which I know Dylan loved. And anytime you hear that music, that's like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I had no problem with Mark Henry being one of the guys that was,
right.
you know, not.
Oh, no, I was perfectly fine.
Not announced. And
no problem with that at all.
It was great because Braun's the next guy. So you get Braun and Henry in there, they do their thing.
Braun was fantastic.
Oh, I'm going to say right now that Braun was the heart and soul of this match. Crowd, let's see if you agree with me. This crowd, the crowd went down for a long period of time in this match. And I think it was because when Braun got eliminated and a guy we're about to talk about got eliminated too. But yeah, Braun was heart and soul. He had a great performance here.
Yes. And that choke slam, I know, look, I actually get why people hate Ellsworth. I mean, I enjoy him. I think he's one of those guys who's, I find him to be so bad.
We're supposed to hate him now, I think.
But, yes. But that choke slam bump he took, oh, my God. So, Ella had Ellsworth face all over her ass and pants.
I was hoping, I will say this, I was hoping that Cass and Ellsworth would have had something this match. That would have been awesome. Considering
that would have been very fun.
I mean, yeah, I think the Ellsworth elimination. I might say that maybe the greatest elimination in the history of Royal Rumble.
It was, man, that was a heck of. I mean, like, well, there was that one Nunzio elimination by Goldberg and
Ellsworth. Oh yeah, yeah.
Guido took a bump. That was like I think those are the top.
Yeah, two
brutal. And of course, Sarge's in the '92 Rumble. I think it was pretty big too. The didn't he take the chest first?
Yeah, he did the Sarge bump. Yeah, over the,
yep.
He did his bump. He does it matches in the Rumble. Yeah,
yeah. But that was a crazy bump. And of course, Dillinger at 10. So the
oh,
the marks were.
Oh God! And that was the other one. When I think when Ty was eliminated, a lot of steam came out of that match. Even though he wasn't doing much of anything, it's still that he was a favorite. The fans want him, and they actually went through with putting him out at 10. What a shock!
Yes. Some people thought it would be a troll and he'd come out at 11, which I thought would have been funny. But yeah, they delivered on that, and the crowd was very happy with that. And Corbin eliminating Braun, awesome, huge. That's huge for Corbin. That was the big
moment. It shocked me because I figured that Reigns is going to be in here, and I thought, well, Reigns is going to eliminate Strowman because of what happened in the title match. He's going to get his revenge. He's going to set up, you know, down the line. And then when that did happen, I was like, well, who knows? Maybe something happened later. And also, one thing, Sami Zayn, you know, they did the little deal, which we didn't talk about, where Sami picked his number. He had his blue ball, and which Stephanie had this great look on her face when he said that. When Dean said he had number 8, and then Braun came out at 7, I thought that was awesome. Because everybody knows that everybody knew that Sami was number 8. So, you know, Sammy's coming out next.
Yep.
And they're going to continue their deal with those two. And Sami lasted a long time in this match. So you got to give it to him there. He made it late. And Big Show. We got the Big Show Braun deal, you know, that was built up on Raw.
Yeah, that was well done. I enjoyed
built that. Built up on Raw. Big Show losing tremendous physical condition. Yeah, no, he's got his big match with Shaq coming up at Mania, which who knows what that's going to be like. But, Of course, you know, we mentioned Ty coming out and the fans just losing their fucking minds for that.
Yep. Kofi's thing actually was impressive. I think it was underrated.
The fact that he lived.
Yes. Dude, Chris, I thought he might have hit his chin on the top of the
I thought he almost impaled himself. Imagine that thing would have went through his body. Oh.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
God.
Because Kofi is not, he doesn't have a lot of room there in his upper body. He's a very skinny man.
No.
I mean, he's got a bird chest. No,
that was.
And, ooh, that was nasty.
Yeah.
Nasty.
It was impressive that he took that bump. And but then I think at this, and I think you would agree with me, Chris, every Rumble has this. But it really kind of got boring there from about 15 to 25.
I agree, and it's interesting because of who was in it. Because you know the Miz,
it was all the
Miz comes out of 15,
you know,
and then you know Sheamus, Big E, Rusev, Cesaro, and Xavier. So you have 5 straight Raw guys come out, and you had 3 New Day members out of 7. And I think Xavier being out there, I was like, ugh. And I forgot he was in it. I thought it was just going to be Big E and Kofi.
Yep.
But it played to a thing, though, because they did the continuity between Xavier and Bray. When Bray got out there.
Yes. Which.
So they did a callback on that, which I thought was fun. But, yeah, I mean, Cesaro, you know, was trying to do his giant swings and tired out. And handsome Rusev had his face mask on, so he's not that handsome right now because he's... His nose, which I didn't even know he had a nose injury from Raw.
Well, I recall him wrestling the second half of the match with tissue nose. So he obviously broke it.
And props to Handsome Rusev for fighting on valiantly here. But yeah, it's just kind of like, and yes, a lot of these Rumbles had this around that point too, where they drag a little bit and they back.
This felt a little bit longer than usual, and that's why, Chris, on Twitter, I was criticizing. Look, I agree with you. I don't think, you know, the big three, Taker, Rock, and Goldberg aren't going to come out, and you know what I mean, and work long. But it was like, man, maybe it would have been better to bring, keep Braun in a little bit longer and bring in Big Show at like 17 or something. You know what I mean? Like clear the ring.
Or
like,
move Goldberg and Lesnar up. You still don't have to keep them there long.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. Yep.
I mean, move them up.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Move them up. And
because it was 25 minutes of just kind of a stalemate in a lot of ways. You know, it was just... It's kind of nothing stagnant.
Because, I mean, Goldberg can hang around until it's time for him to be eliminated, you know? I mean, he don't have to do a whole lot, you know. But and I thought it was interesting that Goldberg eliminated Brock as easy as he did. I thought, you know, I had thinking that they were going to eliminate each other.
Yeah, that's
what. Wow, I mean, you watch this. I mean, we had the deal with the Survivor Series where he, you know, squashes him. We have this deal where he just eliminates him easy. It's like, why would I want to see them wrestle again?
Yeah,
I mean, Goldberg's totally owning this man.
It's like is Brock the, like? Not really, but like, it's almost like Brock's like kind of the babyface. I mean, he's getting squashed by this guy.
It's weird.
I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's real weird. You know, Goldberg had some. I mean, when he ran the ropes, ooh, and he had the double spear on Bray and Orton. That was not good rope running by Goldberg by far.
No,
he's no Buddy Rose when it comes to running the ropes. I tell you that. Oh, no. Lord have mercy. But Apollo Crews coming in there, and I thought was
that was a bad choice. You know, if look, here's my thought on Apollo Crews. If you're not going to put Breezango in there, don't put him.
Well,
in
his spot should have went to somebody
like an
NXT guy. Or even an old timer, which, you know, this was one of the I can't remember the last Royal Rumble where we didn't have something like that.
Yeah. Didn't really have. We didn't have that really, you know. This time around, I think it's necessary to talk about
the definitely Harper, Luke Harper. I mean, yeah, we.
I loved all of that, dude.
Yeah, great. Harper, you know, hitting Bray and doing teasing Sister Abigail.
Looks like that might be, he might be a face now.
Well, that'd be the way to go. But the thing is, though, if you're going to turn Orton, what do you do?
I don't know. It's interesting to see.
And you got the Eric Rowan's going to play a factor in this.
Oh.
So,
yep.
There's some intrigue there on the SmackDown side in that feud, no doubt. Dolph Ziggler being in this match, though. I mean, he hit his super kicks, but God, I don't want to. He's got that go away heat with me. I don't want to see his fucking ass.
I don't want to see him either, and I think he's been really bad as a heel. And I think puts how good the Miz has gotten because boy, Miz obviously carried that feud in the fall because Ziggler is not good.
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler has the Dustin and Evolve heat to me right now. I don't want to see his fucking ass on the show. No matter what he does, I just don't want to see him. Just get him off my television. And like you said, Harper, I thought was really great. And the fans really popped when he, you know, clocked Bray. And then we had Brock come out and do his thing. And Enzo. I don't know which one I hated more, Apollo or Enzo being in this match. I understand why he did Enzo so he could get killed. But
the crowd was like, what?
I mean, just imagine if it would have been somebody, you know, like a Samoa Joe or a returning Finn Balor or something, you know, the crowd was wanting something. And because, I mean, you got all these heavy hitters now starting to come out. So you're starting to get some momentum back. They were already chanting for Goldberg and he finally comes out next at 28 and he clears Lesnar out of there. Which the fans went apeshit for. And then Undertaker comes out, and the fans were definitely in the Goldberg and Undertaker.
Yeah. You know, Taker's definitely slowed down, but I thought Taker was fine in the match tonight. You know, he looked slowed down. But he
looked like
okay.
He was about to die. I think he was better than Goldberg.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was he looked fine to me. I never got the gist of him looking like he was blown up or anything. So...
Yeah, I mean, he's aged. I mean, hell, he's 51 years old. Of course
he's going to age. He's gonna have old man flab on him, too. I mean, that should be expected.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But anyway. Roman. What was that?
I said, then Roman.
What the thing was, you know, Undertaker eliminated Baron Corbin, which everybody makes the father and son jokes with them on Twitter. Dad eliminated his son. and then Roman Reigns goes out at 30. Now. If you're going to put Roman Reigns in this match, he didn't need to be number 30. That's the biggest mistake of this match, I think.
But, Chris, I think it was crowd manipulation by WWE.
Oh, yes.
I think it was intentional.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. And he was the biggest heel in the building.
They knew
he's the biggest heel in the building now. The fans hate his guts.
You know what, Roman? Give credit to Roman. He worked like
well, a heel. Well, like I said on Twitter too, and it's going on. I said, listen to Michael Cole on commentary, and Michael Cole on commentary was talking about how, oh, Roman, Braun Strowman may have pushed Roman Reigns to a new level, or you know, he something happened to him when Braun Strowman cost him that match. You know, so they're planting yep. the seeds right there that this is a new Roman Reigns. And, you know, Undertaker eliminating Goldberg was a great spot, you know, and that made you think, okay, well, Goldberg and Undertaker's coming up somewhere down the line. And then, boom, Reigns putting Undertaker out, and everybody knew, you know, all the smart fans knew that that was talked about for Mania, and so there it is, right there laid out in front of you. And yep. so then now you get the three left, Reigns, Bray, and Orton. And that goes into what we've been reading and hearing about this past week about how Orton was the favorite. And, you know, it's going to be Orton and Bray at WrestleMania somehow, some way. And you see there's like that, and you think, well, Roman pretty much ain't got a chance. Well, he knocks Bray out, and then Orton catches him and puts him out of there. Fans go crazy.
That RKO was timed really well, though.
One thing I want to mention about Orton that we did talk about, when he came out to his music. Not the Wyatt Family yeah. remix version. His good theme point. Music.
Good point. That might be an attention to detail that comes up later.
So, I mean, it was very exciting, except the one lull, which always happens. And, like I said, there's some things you're going to question, but when it comes to the Rumbles of the recent era, where would you put this Rumble at?
I actually liked the finish of this Rumble more than the last 3 years. I think it's way better than the last 3 years Rumbles, actually. I would put it slightly below last year's, but I think it was definitely better. It's the best Rumble since... See, I still like last year's better. I was there live. That's a bias.
Oh, well, the AJ Styles probably. Pop. I mean, that's just...
I would say this was a top 10 Rumble match, probably overall.
Of all time? Yeah. I can get behind that. I can get behind that, for sure. It's a yeah. top 10-er. It's not the greatest one ever, but it's a top 10-er.
No.
It's a top 10-er, for sure. I mean, there were some good moments, but again, it kind of lacked that surprise... You know, or nostalgia yes, that we've been depending on for every year. And I guess, you know, they thought, well, we had enough part-timers in here with Goldberg and Brock and Undertaker that we didn't need to bring in some, you know, old act or somebody new. I mean, and I guess they said, well, we've got Ty Dillinger in here. So that's the NXT guy. You had Gallagher in here. That's your cruiserweight guy. So we filled the quota. And I guess they felt maybe they didn't want to waste Balor's return here or Joe. If they're not going to win it, why do we have men here?
Yeah. Very good point. Yep. So, and it might be better that they don't go in there and get eliminated. Yeah.
So in the end, I think it's going to work out in the end. So. But I'm sure that a lot of people live, you know, had some questions about it. But that's understandable.
Oh, sure. And Randy Orton is not over with a lot of people. Particularly on Twitter in the
Oh, yeah, board, he's Randy so, Orton. He's going to have that. You know, that's just the way it is. That's just the way yeah. it is. But, I mean, it worked for what they were doing. You know. Although, sure. I would have liked the surprise winner.
I think
winner.
So, too.
And because, I mean, we all knew that Orton was the betting favorite going in. So.
Yes.
And, again, and like I said earlier, you know, with Cena beating AJ, that kind of threw a monkey wrench and everything. Because like, everybody thought AJ was going to win. And he would lose the title of the Chamber. So when that happened, I was like, oh, now we got something happening here. You know, maybe everything was a red herring all along. And, you know, they leaked out these plans. That's not going to happen. But, no, they kind of went everything true to form after that. So. We'll see.
Imagine Randy doesn't work the Chamber, right?
Why would he need? Yeah, why? So I'm guessing he'd probably work Harper in a singles.
Yep.
And Chamber, let's look at Chamber. Yep. All right, Chamber will be Cena, Bray,
AJ,
Ziggler, Corbin, Miz, Ambrose?
You don't think AJ's going to
AJ,
be it?
Oh, AJ. So where do you... All right, so we had that.
I might take Ziggler out of it and put in AJ.
So, yeah, but what about... Okay, they may need to have Ambrose out to defend his title.
Yeah, you might be right. It might be Ambrose and Corbin. And then they'd have to fill in.
Because we talked about SmackDown being a weekly, built roster. That chamber's taking six guys. So they're gonna have I would say multiple women's matches and maybe multiple tag matches to fill that show out.
Yeah.
That undercard or that show might be woof. It might be something.
Yeah. It's gonna be rough.
It might be something. Because it's not gonna be a 2-hour SmackDown. It's gonna be at least 2.5 hours for a big show. So
yep,
the chamber I'm sure will probably go a little long though. So that may be a saving grace. But ooh, I don't know about that Fastlane. Who knows? I mean, I guess Reigns, Strowman, but who knows where we go from there? Where Owens goes next? You know, as champion.
Yeah, but he might work Goldberg.
He could
or some. I mean, or. Or Taker or something.
Yeah, Taker's going to fit somewhere in there. And, the WrestleMania plan, supposedly, are Owens and Jericho, so.
Yep.
And that may not be for the title. So, who knows?
No.
Who knows what may happen here. But anyway, we'll close out this show. Thoughts? Thumbs up? Thumbs down? Thumbs in the middle? Where do you stand on it?
Thumbs up. Big thumbs up, actually. I think the Rumble match... maybe didn't quite live up to its full potential as an all-time Rumble match, but it was still very fun and a very good Rumble match. Otherwise, the show was really, really, really good, and every match, at least on the main card, was really good to great, including matches, two title matches that were really good, and I think a lot of people are going to give at least one of the other Match of the Year candidate praise. At the moment, at least, I think it was a really, really good card. Big thumbs up.
Yeah, I will agree. I mean, this is one of the best, I think, up and down pay-per-view shows they've put on in a while. And, the Royal Rumble is always my favorite show anyway of the year because I love the Royal Rumble match. It's my favorite match. So they delivered there, and all the ton of matches were fantastic. So, yeah, this is a definite must-see show if you didn't see it. So go check it out on WWE Network. Now, let's talk real quick about some other stuff happening this weekend. And we'll start off with NXT. Interesting show. Another really good show. One of the best takeovers they've had in a while, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Who did Ty Dillinger work? Eric Young. I thought that was the weakest match of the show, but I thought Roddy and Andrade was a very strong match. Andrade's best match, in NXT. He's finally catching on, getting comfortable with his character. The four-way women's match, I'm a huge Billy and Peyton fan. I know people were saying, oh, why don't they pin each other? Well, I understand where you're coming from in that, but,
it's wrestling. Don't try to look for love.
Yeah, exactly. Everywhere. Exactly. And I was kind of dubious of Asuka winning like she did, but, whatever. The tag title match I thought was awesome. I thought Authors of Pain had a coming out party in this match. I likened it on Twitter to the reverse of the Road Warriors versus Arn and Tully at Starrcade, where the Road Warriors should have got the belts put on them that night, and they fucked up and didn't do it. Well, NXT didn't do it.
That was
in Chicago.
Right?
So NXT didn't do it the night. Last night they put the belts on the big guys at the right time. Even though it wasn't in their hometown or anything, they were babyfaces, but they had to put the titles on the heels. So they did that. And Nakamura Rude. I mean, was it the best match as far as working goes? No. But I thought Bobby Roode's psychology in that match was stellar. I thought him playing the veteran and doing the little stuff he did built up to what happened at the end. And I thought that was tremendous stuff. What was your thoughts on the show?
Yeah, I thought it was probably the third best takeover ever, probably behind Dallas and Brooklyn One. And I think he has to give credit because it was a show that had underwhelming expectations. And I think it over-delivered big time. I think every match on the card was at least decent and probably at least good. I thought, you know, Ty Young was probably a good match. I thought it was really good. I thought Authors of Pain and DIY was only just a step below the DIY Revival tags. It's hard for those tags. Match was really, really, really good. And it carried on the trend of these NXT tag title matches having tremendous false finishes. I thought the match was over on the powerbomb spot. Ciampa kicked out. That was a big false finish, I thought. It on that. Incredibly well put together match. Both teams look really good. And yeah, Rude and Nakamura. You know, the first half was kind of just there. I actually liked Nakamura's big bump over the apron early on. I think they told a really good story in the last 5 minutes. Was tremendous and had great heat. I thought the show over delivered. Every match was good to great and top three takeover in my opinion.
And Rude needed to win that match too.
Yes, he did. Yeah,
because I mean, he is so over, you know, because of his steam and everything. So you strike while the iron's hot,
which is okay. He's just over because of his steam. Also, I think he's a pretty good.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
And like you said, I thought he was good in the match. I don't think it's a negative that he's over with his steam. Nobody's gonna cheer or boo Bobby Roode. Nobody's gonna care about Bobby Roode if he doesn't come in with something that makes it interesting. He's Bobby Roode. Come on.
And I think Roode and Roddy may be the next title match, and I think that'd be a hell of a fucking match.
Yes, I do. And I think Hiro Nakamura is going to be a dream match that's not going to be for the title. That's going to be Nakamura's swan song from the
just
from
like
NXT.
Nakamura Zayn kind of was last
year. Yep. Or Ono.
Yeah, Ono Nakamura, yeah. And then, of course, the main story of the show, though, was Seth coming out. And I thought that was a perfect angle. I thought that was awesome. The one thing I'll say about it was I kind of wish that maybe instead of like security guys, Triple H would have sent some NXT guys down that were fighting, you know, for their daddy Paul. But
right, Steve Cutler, you know, send Steve Cutler, you know, like, not like NXT
Angelo stars, like Dawkins, Cutler, Steve Cutler, guys like that, that's trying to impress Triple H. Yeah. You know, send them out there to try to, you know, take Seth. And it was great because finally somebody went after, you know, that's feuding with Triple H, went to NXT to confront him. You know, it was that rare mixing of the universes. And the crowd went apeshit nuts because they were not expecting it.
Yeah.
I know, you know, Seth is Seth, but they went nuts for that. And
which is good synergy.
Yes.
I think. Because that goes, people who don't watch NXT, who are casuals, who are just the main draw, they go, oh, Seth Rollins was on this NXT. So maybe I should go check out at least a segment. And maybe they'll go, well, there's a match on now or here, you know, and maybe that can grab attention to NXT. It was very, very smart from a business standpoint, I think, in some ways, too.
And Triple H did turn heel. I mean, he came out basically as the boss, as the guy in charge. Like, all right, let's get this guy out of here. You know, he wasn't out there, you know, hamming it up. So he did his role great, too. So I know people say, oh, it's a heel turn Triple H. No, it wasn't a heel turn Triple H NXT. He was playing Paul the Boss, you know, getting his invader out of the ring. So, I thought the NXT show was a tremendous show. Now, Evolve, I didn't hardly see any of the first show. I saw, you know, some here and there. I was able to see the ring break every time, just about. So that was one thing, which that was a big problem. I heard it was a great show. And then I saw the second half of Saturday's show, and then the Chris Hero swan song against Zack Sabre Jr., which was a tremendous match. Great way to end his independent career. And I've said this on Twitter, and I've said this other places. Chris Hero is definitely the most important independent wrestler of our generation. He did so much for independent wrestling in so many ways. It's just
I think he saved the indies. I think he not single-handedly, but he's a big part of giving life back when he got released in 2013, because the early 2010s indies are a dark period of independent wrestling in the U.S., in my opinion. And I think, you know, he and AJ coming back to the indies was a huge driving force for why the indies are so
popular. And the rise of some other guys along the way as well was who were facing Hero, and he was making guys. He was making guys.
Sabre Jr., Matt Riddle.
Tim Thatcher. You know, he was helping make guys, you know. So, I mean, in other ways, I mean, and just his independent work before. I mean, he was such an awesome worker over all these years before he went to WWE. And I know everybody talk about, you know, CM Punk and Bryan Danielson. And yes, they were great independent wrestlers, but when I think of independent wrestling, I think of Chris Hero. I mean, it's just that simple. And Zach was a guy, he worked Zach, and he talked about it in the speech. He worked Zach in 2008 when Zach was a floppy-haired kid out there, you know, trying to find his way. And here he is, you know, facing him in his last match. And Zach's, you know, been all over the world and won the top names. And it was just awesome. Just an awesome way, awesome send-off. Oh, yeah. Jeff Cobb and Tim Thatcher, I liked that match a lot. I know some people really didn't care for it. They thought it was boring, but I dug it considering the past there between those two. And, I mean, it was some interesting, you know, ACH had a decent weekend, got a win over Fred Yehi, which surprised me a little bit. Especially the Yehi and Mike Thatcher.
That did surprise me.
So. Thatcher's a mitt on Friday night.
Yeah, it looks like they've got Sabre Jr., Yehi, and ACH as potential challengers now. So it looks like it's going to be Thatcher and Zach first, because Thatcher pointed at Zach at the end of yesterday's show.
So what was your thoughts on the Evolve weekend?
I thought they were both really good shows. I thought the second show was better. I've got to give props to, like, even like the Riddle Dustin match. You know, I'm with you. Chuck Taylor / Dustin doesn't do anything for me, but he did work hard in the match, and I thought it was a really good match. Brutal match with some insane spots. It was an ODQ match. It was really good. I thought it was a really good weekend. And my other favorite match was probably Hero Keith Lee, you know, working with those broken ropes. Good Lord.
It was nasty.
Like, that ring was...
How Peter Costa did not break his neck in that first match is amazing to me.
I feel bad for Pete Costa, man. Rumble weekends are bad.
Oh, I know. Last year was the same thing.
Last year, you know, Tracy Williams was out there working Tracy Williams' match. That dive spot and got hurt on that dive.
Well, he cut his hair, so he was like Samson. He lost all of his strength.
Yeah, except for now he has like a 90s
rat tail going. Yeah.
He's like Lance Storm now.
Yeah, I know. Oh man, hilarious! But
yeah, it was a great weekend for Evolve too, though.
Yeah, they did really good from what I saw. So props to them, and maybe Flow Slam get their shit together properly. You know, next show. That's the first time I ever had problems with Flow Slam. So maybe it was an aberration. Who knows?
We've had some problems with Flow Slam already. I think a lot of people have as well. I think Flow Slam's a much more stream compared to the better streams, even compared to Network. I think it has a lot of issues.
Well,
and it's still.
Oh yeah, they got stuff to work out. Yeah, they definitely got stuff to work out. Well, we went 5 weeks between shows.
Something like
now
that.
We
yeah,
have,
it's, it was,
and
eight,
now we have
yeah.
two pay-per-views coming up in the next month.
Yeah, gosh.
And then we get a big break before Mania, so you know we'll have that. But it's going to be interesting to see where WWE goes from here, because now we're in Mania season, and this is normally where they start firing stuff up. So for those of you that SmackDown, has been solid just about every week. I mean, they have their hits and misses. And Raw has done better, some in the recent weeks.
Sure.
But now is the time that, you need to start watching, because, this is where they normally pick it up a little bit more. So we'll see what happens there. But anyway, Devin, thank you always for being on the show. And Johnny Sorrow will be back with us, I guess, on the next time. And this is Chris saying so long from the Peach State of Georgia.